any agency operates in the spotlight, it's the Social Security Administration. Its work touches every American. It deals with millions of claims for retirement and disability every year. At the Government Performance Summit this morning in Washington, Gerald Ray, the Deputy Executive Director of its Office of Appellate Operations, is going to talk about performance in action. He's standing by now with Tom. Tom?
Thank you, Emily. And Gerald, it's great to have you on.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, so first of all, tell us about the Office of Appellate Operations and what it does and how it relates to the rest of the agency.
Okay, so we handle appeals of disability claims that are filed at initial level, and they're handled by the State Disability Determination Services. People can appeal those to an administrative law judge hearing, and then those appeals come to us. We've got about 1,200 people working at the Appeals Council.
All right, so it's the first level of disability claims where all the big backlog is at Social Security, correct?
Actually, it's at the hearing level where the problem is. So we get about 2.5 million claims filed each year. About 800,000 of those appeal for hearing before an administrative law judge.
All right. So what are the biggest challenges to handling all this and to trying to get the performance up?
So the key for us is to focus on the quality of the decisions. So we're looking for fair and accurate decisions, and we want to process them as quickly and as cheaply as we can. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get a little better in terms of the consistency and quality of the work.
So again, we're talking about the appellate level and not the original claim level.
Actually, we're looking to push that down through all levels, but my primary role is at the appellate level. That's correct.
All right. So you've made some progress there using data analytics. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have. So one of the things that we did was we were able to map out the entire disability program, showing the policy-compliant pathing to each of the 2,000 or so decisions that could be issued in a disability claim. With that information, we developed case analytic tools that our employees use to evaluate whether decisions are policy compliant. So our judges have qualified judicial independence, when they issue their decisions, though, they still have to follow the policies that are written. So we're checking to see if they've done that. Once we captured the information from those reviews of those cases, I can then analyze that information. I can put it into heat maps and other types of visualizations. I can find where people are diverging from the policy-compliant pathing. I can also find where the policy itself is somewhat open to interpretation, so we get different interpretations. And so you get different results, and so we're looking for, again, is consistency. So what I'm trying to do then is use that information to push down policy-compliant training to the individuals at an individual level. To the judges and decision writers so that they won't make policy-compliant errors. And by reducing errors, we improve the quality of the work that we provide.
And how have judges accepted that kind of guidance?
Generally, they like that. We don't use it as a performance metric, so the judges aren't actually under performance standards per se. We focus primarily on the quality because we realize people are trying to do a good job when they come to work, and because the judges are professionals, they want to do a good job. So anything we can give them that will help them do that, they appreciate.
So objective measures that are visualized, in other words, you're appealing to their noble motive of wanting to be a better judge.
That's correct. We generally do think that people don't come to work to do the wrong thing. They come here to do the right thing. And because of that, if you give them information that helps them, then they will accept that readily, and they do.
We're speaking with Gerald Ray. He's Deputy Executive Director in the Office of Appellate Operations at the Social Security Administration. We should point out you are not actually in the Woodlawn Security Complex of Social Security, but quite a distance away from there.
That's correct. We're actually in Falls Church, Virginia, where our staff is primarily located.
Does that help to be out of headquarters?
Arguably it does, yeah. I think it's good to be a little away from everyone else.
And thinking about those data metrics and the analytics and metrics that you make all of that visualization of, it occurs to me that could also be used in reverse, in a sense, to maybe help improve policy.
Absolutely. So we see in certain instances where lots of people make the same type of error. And what we actually find is that they're interpreting the policy in different ways. So if you can tighten up the policy and make it a little clearer for everyone, including the federal district courts, by the way, who also review our work, they have a tendency to also view things slightly differently. But if you can tighten up the policy and make it clearer to everyone, then you get more consistent application of that policy.
So to make like a traffic analogy, if there's a lot of accidents at a certain spot that shows up on a heat map, it may not be the drivers, but it could be the engineering of the intersection.
That's exactly right, although it often is just the driver.
Okay. And so getting back to the judges, you say the reaction is good. What kind of program do you have to make sure that they see this information on a regular type of basis?
So a couple different things. So one, we developed a different type of training for our new hires that focuses really on adult learning. So we've changed the way we teach people, focusing primarily on not only what to do but how to do it. We also developed a tool called How Am I Doing, where we can push information on errors with policy compliant training directly to the people as they make the errors, so they can self-train themselves. And then, of course, we have annual training for judges and decision writers as well.
Now, earlier you said you mapped the entire appellate process and broke it down into step-by-step. And I guess, does that mean that it's possible to automate any of it, or knowing the steps, or maybe because there's so much judgment involved in so many policies, it can never be automated?
There is a lot of judgment, but what you have is a rule-based program, and you exercise judgment as you go through those rules. So if you've got 2,000 different decisions you can issue, there's obviously a number of places where you'd exercise judgment. We have been able to develop algorithms and use natural language processing to actually have the computers read the decisions, find errors, and put that information out for our reviewers so we can figure out stuff to look at to see whether it was in fact an error. But it highlights the cases that are most likely to be error-prone. And eventually we plan to push that out to the adjudicators so they can run that against their own decisions before they issue them.
So that's really almost human decision support as something different from pure automation.
That's right. Yeah, I don't think you can ever really fully automate the entire program because of the judgment involved. And it is individual adjudication, and people are coming forward with their subjective complaints, and you have to weigh the evidence and weigh the opinions and decide whether you find them credible and so on.
Well, it seems like these tools could also be used at the original level, at the first level of application that people make to Social Security.
That's exactly right. But since we're at the final end of the program, we can see the errors that are made at all levels. So we can take the corrective action at our level and build the tools at our level and then push those down through the program to the other levels. And the commissioner is very much, Commissioner Colvin, very much in favor of using data-driven or data-informed decision-making.
Well, so do you have a counterpart at the original application level?
Yes, and we have the Office of Disability Determinations.
So the question is, you got to get them to trust you to take these tools on and apply them to their process.
Yeah, they're actually working very closely with us at this time. So we developed these tools at our level, and now we're working with them to develop similar tools at their level.
All right, so can a lot of the code and so forth that you have developed, is that reusable at different levels?
The pathing is reusable, so you actually want different types of programs at different levels. So I've built deconstructive tools at our level because we're looking at what other people have done. We've also built constructive tools, the electronic case analysis tool that they use actually at the initial level to guide adjudicators through the proper pathing to the appropriate conclusions. That already is in effect at the initial and reconsideration levels.
So do you feel that if this keeps going, this process of looking at it in this manner, that eventually that backlog that exists at the application level could be reduced?
Yes, I think that's right. You get faster when you get better, so I think that's really the key. We also have developed performance metrics for our staff. All of the ALJs, administrative law judges, are not under performance standards. Our staff is, so we are able to path how cases move through our process, the different actions people can take. We can capture information, structured data about that, and then determine how long it actually takes and then develop performance metrics around that, which we've done.
All right, so that process of looking at policy, natural language processing, interpretive look at results, and also mapping. It seems like that's almost a government-wide use for the process that you have to determine the process.
It absolutely is. I've been talking with people from many other agencies, including the Canadian Ministry of Justice, but TSA and EEOC and the Veterans Board of Appeals and others, because this type of process could be applied to many, many different areas of administrative law.
And we should point out you have been recognized for this work.
I have, actually. I have received an award, and we've actually gotten two awards for a training, the Deming Award from Graduate School USA. We've won that twice.
Boy, Deming is a word you don't hear as much nowadays, but he's really the father of this whole process quality, step-by-step breakdown, improve each step.
That's
way
exactly
of doing
right.
Business.
That's exactly right, and I'm a big fan of his.
All right, so I guess he started out in the United States, taught everything he knew to Japan, and then that kind of forced it back on the United States in some sense.
I think that's right. That's exactly how it went.
All right, Gerald Ray is the Deputy Executive Director of the Office of Appellate Operations at Social Security. Thanks so much for joining me.
Okay, and thank you very much, Tom.